Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4. And as you do that, find and hold a place in Romans chapter 12. So starting in Ephesians 4, but find your place in Romans 12. You can grab a Bible off the welcome table if you don't have one with you. Really would love to have you follow along with us. Don't just take my word for it. We are and have been taking a slight detour in our study of Ephesians, spending some extra time digging more into what we began looking at 5 weeks ago regarding Christ's gifts for his people, specifically looking at spiritual gifts. And in part six, we're going to continue digging into what Scripture says regarding spiritual gifts, but today really focus specifically on some of the gifts that we might classify as more practical in nature. Our starting text is Ephesians 4, 7 through 12, so we're going to read that to just kind of ground our time here. Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus, said, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Again, I've been saying it over these weeks, in chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, Paul has the unity and health and growth and stability and maturity and all these things sort of in mind for Jesus' church as he's laying all of these things out for the Ephesian believers, and God in his infinite wisdom knowing, like, even for us 2,000 years removed, that we would be reading this letter and being challenged and encouraged and convicted and strengthened and seeing these things as God's heart for us, because they are. I don't know if you've ever done this, and I kind of find myself at times doing this, where I'll open up God's word and I have my time with him and I'm just like, "Lord, I just want to hear your voice." And it's like I'm wanting something extra apart from his word. And there are things that God will speak outside of specifically, explicitly his word. But what I can catch myself doing sometimes is I'll say something, like I'll pray something like that, and then God will like bring me back to like, "I am speaking to you through my word. This is my word to you." Like, I left you everything that I wanted you to know. You could go back to, you can know exactly where to find it. It's not in a scroll form anymore. We're like, "Shoot, I think it was about like 2 feet in." Rolling it up like, thank you for those that put in chapters and verses. But God has these things for us. Why? Because he cares about where we're at. He cares about us individually. And he cares about his church corporately. Why? Because it's his body. It's his family. It's his people. And so all of this is for all of us. We get that, right? And so as I've been sharing, as we see in Ephesians 4:12, this equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, this is why we've been spending extra time looking at spiritual gifts. For that equipping sort of element, that greater edification of, one of those two. Slow down, Jared. Greater edification and unity takes place. Now, we've referenced this passage in a previous study, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, Paul references there three groups of spiritual gifts, and we're going to put that on the screen. Paul writes there, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are differences of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. 5 weeks ago, we looked at the differences of ministries that Paul mentions in verse 5, but then gives more info about at the end of chapter 12, and then in our passage of Ephesians 4 that we just read, where Paul mentions these leadership sorts of gifts or leadership sorts of offices. And then over the past 3 weeks, we've looked at the diversities of gifts that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, but then elaborates on in verses 8 through 10 of that chapter, where he lists 9 gifts we might classify as supernatural and extraordinary in nature. We also saw more about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul giving more clarity and needed order on some of the gifts there. But remember that the variety of gifts are necessary, because if we all had the same gifts, the body of Christ would not function properly. The same Spirit of God gives different people different gifts at different times and in different situations, so that the body of Christ works properly and is built up and unified. But now we're going to look at the grouping of gifts that we might see or consider as more practical or natural in nature. And I just want us to be all on the same page. They're just as much spiritual gifts as the other gifts that we've already looked at. And we see that grouping in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, where Paul says, "And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." When Paul says diversities of activities, that word activities in the Greek is where we get the English word shuffleboard. No, I'm just kidding. Activities like ping pong and pickleball, like, you know, activities like these are a gift. No, that's not at all what he's saying here. That was just me. That word activities, I'm just keeping you on your toes. You're like, you already are, Jared. It's the Greek word energema. It's where we get our English word energy. This is the energy to do things. It seems to be speaking of the more natural or practical sorts of gifts. Many times, the Holy Spirit is working in and through our lives, influencing us to do things in very natural sorts of ways. And we might not look at these things and think that they're overtly supernatural. Let's just consider some things that we might see here even on a Sunday morning. Bringing all of our equipment out and setting it up on a Sunday. Setting up children's ministry, cleaning off toys, holding a baby, making coffee, setting up the hospitality area, serving a donut, shaking someone's hand, running sound and slides in the live stream, greeting and ushering, tearing things down afterwards. I don't know about you, but on the surface, none of that looks overtly supernatural. I'm not going like, oh my gosh, the Spirit is working. Whoa! Did you see the way that they laid that cord down on the ground? I'm just like, well, that's a put the piece of tape down. I've done it like 100 times now. But the Holy Spirit is very much energizing people with gifts to do things that seem more natural to you and me. It's this grouping of gifts that we're going to look at in Romans chapter 12. So go ahead and turn there. It's just not far away. Romans 12. We're going to read verses 3 through 6. Paul says there, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." We're going to stop there. When it comes to our place in the body of Christ, our service to Christ, the gifts that Christ gives by his Spirit, It's so important that we remember the grace of God. So there's no place for pride or boast. None of us can go, well, I mean, he gave me the gift because I'm sort of a gift. I know we've all probably met somebody like that. They feel like they're God's gift to you fill in the blank. It's grace. Like, it's God's unmerited favor. None of us like, oh, well, I've been really doing this for a long time, and I put in a lot of work. I've racked up a lot of spiritual points. Like we're playing pinball or something like that. It's like, well, I've kind of like, of course he would give me a gift, or of course he would want to use me. Like, no, grace, we've talked about this, grace levels the playing field. Grace just like, we're all there in that same place that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. And then in his grace, he's going, I'm going to take you where you're at, and I'm going to do something with your life. And none of us can go, well, you know, but this and this. It's like, no, he's so gracious. He desires to do it. And you know what? In all honesty, sometimes he uses us in spite of us. Sometimes he uses us and we're just going, why, Lord, did you... There's no, like, why did you even do that? Like, there's no reason I'm not even in the right place. Like, I just yelled at somebody, or I cut somebody off on the freeway, or I've been holding a grudge towards somebody, and then he does something with our lives, and it just humbles us all over again. That's grace. We have to remember God's grace. When we think about all the gifts, we have to remember the grace of God. And it's also important we remember that Jesus' body is meant to be diverse, yet united. Our function within the body does not give us greater or lesser value than someone else in the body of Christ. Instead, our different functions are meant to complement one another and make the church as a whole both united and strong under the headship of Jesus Christ. Paul says, though, we've been given gifts. We each have received a gift or gifts. These gifts are different. They vary from believer to believer. How often those gifts are used, exercised, is going to look different, but these gifts are a result of the grace of God in our lives. So we've been looking at spiritual gifts for a number of weeks, and you know, maybe some of us are like freaked out at the thought of being given a spiritual gift, and then all of a sudden it's like, what do I do? If God gives me a gift or gifts, what in the world am I supposed to do now? Paul says in verse 6, use them. If any of us were confused up to this point, what are we supposed to do? God gives us a gift or gifts. What do I do, Lord? Like, it's not a hot potato situation. Like, oh, get it out. Like, no, to pass it on to somebody else. Like, I don't want the thing. Like, he's giving you a gift so that you use the gift. Use the stinking gift. I feel like Jerry Seinfeld there. God gives us gifts so that we would use them. Use the gift he's giving you. If you don't know what gifts God has given you, that's a kind of a different thing, right? But if you don't know, actively and intentionally seek him about that. And maybe even ask other mature believers in your life, how do you see God working in me? Do you see things where maybe you would be able to put your finger on ways that God is gifting me in a certain area, to identify maybe areas that God wants to use you more in. And when he opens doors to serve him, There is faith involved. It still requires you stepping out in that thing. God does not remove that element ever. There's never like, you're all of a sudden you just become robotic and it's just like, well, I got the gift, now I'm going to go, I'm walking. And it's like, I don't have to think about it, I don't really have to. It's like, no, you have to actually trust the Lord now in that. I've got to now depend upon Him that He's going to meet me as I seek to use the gift that He's giving me for Him. So, gives you an open door, He gives you an opportunity, or He makes something clear, you're all of a sudden you're seeing that He's giving you a gift maybe. Trust Him, He's going to give you what you need to do whatever He's putting before you, and step out in faith and dependency upon the Holy Spirit's empowerment, and then watch what He does. And as God makes it clear that He's given you a gift or maybe gifts, praise Him. Thank Him. Give Him all the glory, all the credits, and worship Him. There is that element of it. It's not just the edification of the body. It's the glorification, the exaltation, the magnification of Jesus in seeing God working in and through your life or in the life of someone else. God, how good You are. I can't believe You did that, Lord. You are so amazing. Thank You. Give Him the credit. Now, as Paul has given us the charge to use the gifts God has given to us by His grace, in verses 6 through 8, he's going to list, again, what we might view as practical sorts of gifts. They are spiritual gifts that seem more natural and not blatantly supernaturally given or sourced, and yet they are. We're going to look at these gifts just like we've done in past week. We're going to seek to define and understand them and their place in our lives. So let's read verses 6 through 8. We started reading verse 6, but starting from the beginning of that verse, Paul says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." As we start to make our way through this list, the first one Paul mentions is the gift of prophecy. In verse 6, Paul says, "If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." Now, I do want to point out that this is the only gift listed in this section that was also included by Paul in the list of spiritual gifts he teaches about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and then also in chapter 14 of that same letter. And since we've already looked in depth at this specific gift in our studies the past 2 weeks, we're not going to go further into it today. And you can catch those messages in a variety of ways if you miss them. But moving on, the next gift Paul mentions is the gift of ministry. In verse 7, Paul says, "Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering." So let's look at this gift. Ministry is the special ability given by the Holy Spirit to see needs and respond to them by using the available resources. This word ministry in the Greek is the word diakonia, which is where we get our English word deacon. And it means servant or minister, we could also translate it. A deacon is a servant. Now, while there were those in the New Testament who were recognized in official roles as deacons, and Paul lays out the qualifications for a deacon in 1 Timothy chapter 3, when it comes to the definition of what it means, really, we either are servants or we aren't. I forget who said this. Maybe it was Elizabeth Elliot. But you'll find out really quickly if someone's a servant or not when you treat them like one. Right? When someone treats you like a servant, you either are a servant or you're not. It's like really quick, you're like, what? How dare you, you know? But we're all called to serve. This was modeled for us by Jesus. It was taught by Jesus. And please know that these gifts we're looking at today are not just applicable in a local church fellowship context, but are applicable really in the context of wherever God has placed us and with whoever God has placed around us as we seek to serve others for the Lord. But let me remind us what Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 10, verses 42 through 45. It says there, but Jesus called them to himself, this is speaking of his disciples, and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. While the attitude and position of servanthood is something that's expected of all of us as disciples of Jesus Christ, there are those, clearly, who the Holy Spirit gives the gift of ministry to, who go above and beyond to do whatever needs to be done in responding to needs in the body and serving others. And those with this gift are a huge blessing. This church body would be severely diminished in effectiveness if there were not so many of you who operate often in this gift, whether you realize it or not. Because this is not, you know, it takes a team. It takes a family to come together and be able to do what we do on Sunday mornings and minister in the way that we seek to minister on Sunday mornings. If there's not people who are operating in this gift of ministry, and man, it is such a blessing, and I'm so thankful for all of you, because seriously, like, think about when we first came up here to start the church, and it's been, I think next week it'll be the 10-year anniversary of us moving here, that early on it was like me and my wife and our kids, and our kids were still young, and my daughter Reagan's like helping me hook up the trailer to our car to bring stuff, but like, how early on God started bringing people, and those like Jared and Nikki and so many others that started coming, and it was just like God using people to minister, and just how much of a blessing it is that it's like all these years later, it's like it's not just my family, it's like our family here. And I just love seeing the Holy Spirit using you all. So I'm thankful for you. Moving on, though, the next gift Paul mentions is the gift of teaching. In verse 7, Paul says, he who teaches in teaching. So let's consider this gift. Teaching is the special ability given by the Holy Spirit to give clarity and insight into the Word of God and present it in a way that gives understanding and application to the hearers. Whenever you listen to a Bible study being taught, or maybe someone sharing God's word with you conversationally or in a discipleship sort of setting, and you leave that time understanding what a portion of Scripture meant and how it applies to your life, it shows that the person teaching was operating in this gifting. There are people who are great teachers. There are people who are great even at giving speeches. But that doesn't mean that that translates automatically to being able to teach the Word of God. There must be a gifting from God in order for that person who is teaching to internally and eternally impact those that are listening. Now, we each get teaching sorts of opportunities in whatever sphere of influence the Lord has given us. So like, just let's like remove this, okay? Like, you may not be behind here. You may not be the a scheduled children's ministry teacher. Maybe you will. Maybe you will be behind here. Let's bring someone up right now. No, crud. No, I was afraid of this. Because I think that it's like we hear the word teaching and we're like, nope, that's not me. That gift's not for me. Like, moms, grandmas, grandpas, dads, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, in your job, in your neighborhood, in the grocery store, you get opportunities to talk to other people about the Lord and His Word. There are teaching sorts of moments, right? They happen. They happen. Sometimes we miss them because we're so busy and distracted. But they happen all the time. God gives us these moments. And how often is He wanting to give this specific gift so that the person that we're sharing with leaves changed? Leaves impressed with like a greater impression of who God is, of the promises in His Word. He gives us these sorts of things. It's maybe not here, maybe not behind here. But that doesn't make it any less important or valuable. If we get those opportunities, again, it may not be giving a formal Bible study, but if we get that opportunity to share about the Lord, to share about His Word, let's be asking, God, give me that gift of teaching. That You would give me, Lord, that things to share with someone else about You, about Your Word, that would be led by and empowered by Your Spirit. So that internal and eternal change takes place. Another thing to know really quickly about the gift of teaching is that there can be teachers in the church who are not pastors. But biblically, every pastor must be a teacher. That's why it's the pastor teacher in Ephesians chapter 4. The gift of teaching is necessary for the health and growth and unity and stability and maturity of Jesus' church. Moving on, the next gift Paul mentions is the gift of exhortation. In verse 8, Paul says, "He who exhorts in exhortation." So let's look at this gift. Exhortation is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to encourage and urge others to apply what they know and have been taught. This gift often comes through the pulpit ministry while teaching is going on, but more often, this gift actually comes through one-on-one conversation. It's the ability given by the Holy Spirit to encourage someone to do what they know what they're supposed to do, and encouraging them to stand upon and apply the promises God has made in His Word. How many times have you and I found ourselves in that sort of place? I know what I need to do, but I need someone giving me a spirit, imparted sort of word of exhortation to do what I know that I'm supposed to do. Or I've read things in God's Word. I know some of the promises of God, but I'm struggling to really stand firmly, confidently in those promises. And I need someone else to come alongside with a spirit-imparted, spirit-given word of exhortation to say, no, God is going to do that. If He said it, He's going to do it. If He said that about Himself, that is who He is. I need to be exhorted so that greater confidence, greater groundedness in Christ happens in my life, and you need that same thing. You know, I'm not the exception. Like, everyone else needs all these things. Not Jared, though. I've been the beneficiary of these gifts in operation in many of your lives. I've needed to be exhorted. But this gift is so necessary, as it's not often easy for us to live out the things that God is telling us in His Word. And we need to have people in our lives who can come alongside us and stir us to action, reminding us what God has already said and of His power to live out the things He's called us to in His Word. And God wants to use us to help bring those things about in the lives of others as well. Now, an exhortation might be an encouraging and uplifting sort of word, but it also might not. Sometimes it can be a difficult, confronting, warning sort of word that can make someone feel uncomfortable, but God knows that we, or maybe they, need to hear it because maybe there's some stubbornness or some pride or something that's there that God's trying to deal with. Sometimes a warning is needed. God loves us enough to say hard things to us because He knows if we just stay in that thing, that it might be destructive, damaging, our fruitfulness and effectiveness might be greatly diminished by whatever that is that needs to be confronted and dealt with. And God loves us enough to say hard things to us, to rebuke us even. Check out what we're told in Hebrews 3, verse 13. The writer there says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Exhortation is not an option. It's a necessity so that our hearts stay soft and yielded to the Lord. And so we don't become hardened and deceived by sin. Why? Why? Because sin is deceptive. It's deceptive. And part of how God is wanting to keep you and me from being hardened by sin's deception is through this gift of exhortation. We need this gift of exhortation to be in operation in our lives and the lives of others every time we get together with other believers. Not gossiping, not judging others, not tearing others down, but exhorting, encouraging, uplifting, challenging, sharpening one another, stirring each other on to love and good works. We need that. Moving on, the next gift Paul mentions is the gift of giving. In verse 8, Paul says, "He who gives with liberality," or we could say generosity. Let's look at this gift. Giving is the special... Whoa. What just happened? Okay, let's try that again. Giving is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to enable someone to share their finances and or their material resources with liberality and cheerfulness. Just shows you how much I like talking about giving. Biblical people. You know, there are Christians who have been extraordinarily blessed by God materially or financially, and God has, I believe, chosen to do that, to use them as a channel to provide resources to others who may have a need. Being able to have a high-paying job is a gift from the Lord. That's not to say that having a low-paying job is a curse from the Lord. Don't get that twisted. I know people, including here in this fellowship, who understand this, who use their resources as a way to bless others, and they are oftentimes operating in this gift of giving. But I've seen this gift more often in Christians who hardly have any material or financial resources, don't make much money, and who still give of whatever they have to bless and help others who also have this gift. So the gift isn't seen in the extravagance or the amount. It's in the heart. I don't know if I even need to say this, but I'll say it anyways because it's in my notes. But it's not natural for us to give of what is ours. Because in our flesh, we are naturally and generally more prone to be selfish. And it just starts as little kids. That's mine. Mine. If you're ever in a position to give selflessly and generously and you're not doing it for others to see, that's a spiritual gift from the Lord. Moving on, the next gift Paul mentions is the gift of leadership. In verse 8, Paul says, he who leads with diligence. Let's look at this gift. Leadership is the special ability given by the Holy Spirit to lead, direct, oversee, and govern others. The Holy Spirit gives this gift so that disciples of Jesus can lead in a way that really honors and represents the Lord rightly. And this is a gift that every believer needs as we're all called to lead others to Jesus in some sort of way. And it's a gift that's desperately needed by pastors and elders and ministry leaders in every church. I pray constantly for the gift of leadership so that I and the other elders here and those who, you know, lead in some way can serve Jesus and his people well, lead and oversee Jesus' church well, and represent and honor Jesus well in the roles that he's given us. And those given this gift are to show diligence or earnestness in whatever leadership role or situation that God puts in front of them. Godly leadership is in short supply. And the great part about servant leadership is that it's not seen as like, well, there's the leaders, they're leading, look at how they're, and it's like this strong kind of hand or like really like, you know, like we can feel it, like, oh man, it's really like things are under, like things are really locked down here. It's like, no, it's real godly leadership. Even when this gift of leadership is in operation, is still modeled in servanthood. Still modeled in servanthood. It's not like, well, then now I'm going to act like Jesus told us not to act and be like the Gentiles who rule over others and are seen as benefactors. Well, you have it really good because of me. But man, when God's giving this gift of leadership, it helps everything to just operate so much more smoothly in a way where it's like, you know what you get when this gift is in operation? You're not going, oh man, wow, like look at those leaders. You're going, wow, Jesus really has his hand on this church. When this gift is in operation, that's the sense that comes. Jesus, you're really the head of this church. And that's what we want. That's what we want. Moving on, the last gift Paul mentions in this list in Romans 12 is the gift of mercy. In verse 8, Paul says, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So let's look at this one. Mercy is the special ability given by the Holy Spirit to come alongside others with compassion and tenderness, and is exercised cheerfully in deeds and words that reflect the love of Jesus. This gift in operation in a believer's life is so huge if you've ever suffered or lost something or someone. Taking someone else's burden as if it were your own, you know, weeping with those who weep, extending compassion and tenderness to someone in a state of suffering or brokenness, this gift is in desperate need within the body of Christ because we all deal with the brokenness of this fallen world that we live in. We all experience tribulation, trouble, and we all go through suffering to varying degrees. And it's a gift to have others show mercy with cheerfulness or joy, to reflect the love and compassion of Jesus well to others who are in need of a very specific type of ministry in a time of need through both our actions and our words. People with the gift of mercy are a gift within the body of Christ because it's not just like it's not kind of natural to us to want to give generously, when someone's dealing with something really, really difficult, that kind of heaviness can be really hard to walk with somebody through. It's not necessarily natural for us to go, yeah, I just want to really link up and, you know, really walk with you through this thing, because that can be you start to share, in a sense, that weight of the burden of that thing. That can be really hard to not just keep on yourself. We're called to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We bear one another's burdens, but we're not to just keep indefinitely the burden. We bear one another's burdens, but then at the same time, there's the other passage in 1 Peter where he says, but then cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So we may share a burden, and I think oftentimes that sharing a burden can come through this walking with someone through brokenness, or maybe it's a constant prayerfulness for someone that's dealing with something. You're sharing that burden in prayer. But we got to keep giving those things over to the Lord so that they don't crush us as well. But this gift of mercy, you know, there are people that are struggling and suffering and, you know, in different sorts of ways, physically, emotionally, spiritually, dealing with relational problems and problems at work. And it's like, this gift is a gift to the person that's on the receiving end, because they need someone else to really be the hands and feet of Jesus to them in a situation where it's like, if they are left sort of there, they might become isolated, insulated, and start to kind of draw away from fellowship in an unhealthy sort of way. And God really uses this gift, I believe, in a powerful way. Now, that concludes this list. There are, though, a couple more of these practical gifts that we're going to look at one other place before we come to a close here. So go ahead and leave your place in Romans 12 and turn one book to the right to 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 28, Paul lists some different gifts there. So we're going to read that verse. He says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Among all of these spiritual gifts, I'm having a really good speaking day, huh?
Get your act together, Jared.
Including the spiritual leadership or office gifts in the beginning of this verse, Paul introduces two other practical sorts of gifts that we haven't looked at: the gift of helps and the gift of administrations. So we're going to look at those two as we start to wrap things up here. In verse 28, Paul mentions the gift of helps. So the gift of helps is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to see and meet specific needs without the need for public recognition. We could also say people who assist others in doing the work of the Lord. Now, I'm so thankful for those within this church who have a heart to come alongside me and the elders and other ministry leaders who offer their help, who seek to take things off our plate to lighten a load, but who also do that same thing with others here in the body as the Lord makes needs known. Examples of great helpers or assistants in the Bible would be the Levites in the Old Testament. And while every priest was a Levite, they all came from the tribe of Levi, not every Levite was a priest. The priests ministered to the spiritual needs of the people, were involved in the sacrifices, were the only ones out of all the people in Israel who could serve inside of the tabernacle and later the temple. But in order for the priests to do what they were called to do, they needed help. They needed helpers, and that role was given to the Levites. The Levites were those who, among other practical but still very much spiritual sorts of tasks, made the temple grounds clean, made the bread for the table of showbread, set up and tore down and transported the tabernacle in the wilderness. That was the Levites. The dynamic, and I've mentioned this in years past, but the dynamic we have here at Calvary Chapel Walnut Creek, meeting here at the school in our setup and teardown, reminds me always so much of the whole sort of tabernacle in the wilderness sort of dynamic. So many practical elements that all fulfilled a spiritual purpose. But in a similar sort of way to the Levites of the Old Testament, those with the spiritual gift of helps help the pastors and elders and ministry leaders in the church to be able to fulfill their roles by coming alongside them and taking care of other responsibilities in the church so that they can effectively fulfill their roles and so that the body as a whole is ministered to effectively so that people and things don't fall through the cracks and so that the house of God is taken care of in both spiritual and practical sorts of ways. And then moving on, the very last gift we're going to look at, Paul mentions in verse 28, is the gift of administrations. We could define it as this. Administrations is the special ability given by the Holy Spirit to organize people and events and navigate circumstances as needed. Those who are given this gift by the Lord help get those in the church all on the same page so that they know what they're doing, are sort of unifying agents in seasons and situations, and who help steer things as directed by the Lord in situations maybe where navigating through something may seem unclear or difficult at times. And the Lord uses this gift really to navigate circumstances to his desired end. I'm so thankful for my wife and others of you who operate in this gift often, who rally people, who make sure others know what's going on, who seek to help empower others to take things on that need to be done, who help empower others to walk in the things that the Lord has for them, which especially given all the moving parts each Sunday and all the different and diverse people and giftings in the body is such a needed gifting so that we're all unified and moving forward together in what the Lord desires for his body here. All these gifts we've looked at today are vital to the overall health and growth and effectiveness of this church as we all seek to operate in the gifts that the Holy Spirit desires to give each of us. And I just want to remind us as the worship team comes back up, worship team being Julian. If he's giving you gifts, it's not hot potato time. Oh, someone else should be doing that. This is really for someone else. Like, if he's giving you a gift, he's doing it for a reason. And I just want to say with that, he doesn't make mistakes. So if he's given you a gift, he's not going, oops, oh, I meant to actually give that to the other person. He doesn't do that. Use the gifts he's giving you with the grace he supplies so that others are blessed, others are ministered to, others are edified, the body is unified, and that God is most glorified in and through your life and this church. And maybe for some of us, even just looking at some of these practical gifts, we're going like, oh my gosh, like how much of what we do, we don't even recognize at times that God is giving a spiritual gift to do it. And it may be just to kind of like help us to recognize the work of the Spirit of God in our life more. We can kind of box God in. This is how God works, and he works in this way, and it's only at this time and in these situations. And God's going like, I'm at work all the time in every situation. And I've got gifts that I want to give so that no matter what's going on, someone could walk in the power of my Spirit to fulfill the things that I'm putting before them to walk in. And to know that so much of this is not task-oriented. Ministry is not primarily task-oriented. It is people-oriented. People are the ministry. You and me. And God's going, see all this and all that comes along with that? I have everything that you need to do everything that I'm calling you to do. And maybe for some of us to just go, okay, Lord, so there's more. There's more that you're wanting to do. So help me to have a proper view of it. Help me not to sort of make light of the things that are actually your spirit at work. Maybe we're going like, I kind of just see that as like, whatever, I just did that or that just happened. And so we miss out on opportunities. Chris kind of brought this out in our home group time, even on Wednesday. Like, we miss out on opportunities to praise the Lord for things because we're not seeing that God's hand was completely in that. And so, again, as I've been encouraging us to really be asking God, God, fill me. Work in it through my life, Lord. I don't want you to use me in spite of me. I want to be that vessel of honor. And so, Lord, we pray that today, God. We thank you for your word. Lord, we're thankful for all of these sort of groupings of spiritual gifts. Every one is because you care about your church. Every single one is because you love us and you want to see your people ministered to. Lord, you want to empower us to be witnesses, God, and we need your spirit to do that. But God, thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you that you, in your grace, you saved us. But Lord, in your grace, you also want to use us. And Lord, maybe for some of us, we've sort of disqualified ourselves in a sense because of the past or because of something that happened this morning or last week. And we're just thinking, oh, God would never use me in any of these sorts of ways. But God, would we not disqualify ourselves when you're not doing it? God, would we not excuse ourselves from things when you're actually calling us into the game? Calling us out onto the field. Maybe some have just put themselves on the sidelines. Maybe some are sitting on gifts instead of using them. Lord, would you, even now, God, be stirring your people, calling us out, Lord, in faith. God, that we wouldn't be inactive. We wouldn't be passive. But Lord, that we would truly eagerly desire the gifts of your Spirit, Lord, for the edification of your people and for your glory. And so God, gift your people even now, Lord. Fill your people with your Spirit, Lord. Pour out upon us. You have things for us that you want to do, Lord. And God, would we just be able in our own hearts to just, we may not understand how all of it works, but God, would we just in surrender and in a position of just being yielded to you, just say, Lord, have your way with me. God, have your way with me. Lord, fill me. God, use me for your kingdom, your glory, your purposes. But if there's anybody here and you've not just first put your trust in Jesus Christ, and maybe you've been admiring Jesus from afar, or, you know, maybe you're just kind of wondering what Jesus is all about. There is a sin problem. It's not hard to see it in our world. There's a sin problem. We're born with it. We're born dead in sin and trespasses. And the only way to have that sin problem dealt with is to receive the salvation, the forgiveness, the new life that's only found in Jesus Christ. He took our place on a Roman cross and took our punishment so that you and I could be pardoned. We could be forgiven. Our debt could be paid in full. But that gift of salvation has to be received. Has to be received. And so if that's anybody here today and you're going, look, I need my sins forgiven. I want new life in Jesus. I want to know that my place in heaven is secure, and it's not in any way because of anything that you've done. It's all because of what Jesus has done for you. Would you raise your hand so I could pray for you this morning if that's you and you're just going, I want the salvation of Jesus. I need his grace. Anybody at all? Lord, you know each heart, God. Maybe even someone online who is in their own heart just going, that's me. That God, they would just be able to have a moment, Lord, just a moment of complete honesty and humility before you, Lord, to just humble themselves and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I need your salvation. I need your forgiveness. Jesus, would you save me? Would you cleanse me of all my righteousness and forgive me of all my sins? Would you make me a new creation in Christ Jesus? Jesus, I repent of my sin. I turn away from it and turn to you in faith. Believe. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose from the grave. Jesus, I put my faith in you today. Lord, would you just meet that person where they're at, Lord? Would you save them and seal them with your Spirit, God? Empower them, Lord, to live for you. And God, for us, as we respond now in these songs of praise and taking the communion elements and maybe getting prayer in the corner of the room, Lord, would you continue to work and move in this place and in our hearts? Lord, work radically, God, in all the ways that you desire. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.